This podcast is going to be a little different because I've decided to discuss the soon coming rapture of the saints and a vision given to Mari Sklar back in January of 2019. Jesus is speaking in the courtroom of heaven and says, through the intercession of my holy bride on earth, the overcoming church of the living God, there has been granted a pause by this court to allow for the fullness of the harvest to come in. During the last hearing on this matter in 2015, 3 years ago in earth's time, Jesus is speaking and he continues, I have the authority to request for another extension of time. The defense petitions the court for another extension of time in the grace that I purchased by my blood on the cross. This is a conversation we get to hear about the rapture of the saints. The Bible gives a description of the event found in 1 Thessalonians, where it states we will meet the Lord in the air. This topic is close to my heart because I too have had many dreams of the rapture of the church. If you want to check out my dreams, I have them posted on my website at starseed.com. If you've never heard of Mari Sklar, he's a master musician who plays the violin and has appeared on many Christian television outlets such as TBN, It's Supernatural with Sid Roth, Daystar, and he is a frequent guest on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson. He receives visions from heaven and shares those on his website and YouTube channel. If you haven't had a chance to read the vision of the courtroom of heaven, please check it out on his website. I will include a link so you can find it. Through a visionary experience, Mari Sklar was ushered into heaven as a witness and court recorder for a hearing regarding the end of time. You heard me right, the end of time. January 2019, there was a three-year pause from a hearing held in 2015, and it was ruled another measure of time for the end-time church to finish her work was granted. He describes, after some deliberation, there was a vote. Every judge voted in favor of the saints to extend another time period of grace. Though I have granted this, the final day of the Lord has indeed come, and the prosecution is correct. The time of grace upon the earth is nearly over. Warn my children, this is the midnight hour. Can we crack the hidden measure of time? Let's start by discussing biblical accounts where God extended time. God granting more time is not unheard of. Hezekiah's story brings us just one account of a biblical connection. Hezekiah was the 13th king over Judah. He was best known for securing the springs of Gihon into the Siloam Pool by carving tunnels beneath the city of David in order to resist the Syrian kings who wanted to wage war with him. The fresh water would allow them to hold their position over a long period of time. To this day, it is still the only natural source of water going into Jerusalem. Hezekiah is introduced to New Testament readers as a relative of Jesus. He is mentioned in the genealogy report found in the book of Matthew, where there's a long line of succession of those who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and those who did not. Hezekiah's grandfather was a high priest and a prophet named Zechariah. God added 15 years to his life when he was told he would perish from an illness. Hezekiah was gravely ill. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before his friend, the prophet Isaiah, left his property, God had him turn around and go back to Hezekiah to send him this message. You can read the story in 2 Kings chapter 20. "I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Again, we read it in Isaiah 38. "Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life." This was a big deal. Even Hezekiah had a hard time believing it. He asked Isaiah for a sign. "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me?" Isaiah answered, This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he had promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or shall it go back 10 steps? Hezekiah responded, it's a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps. Rather, have it go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called on the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. During Hezekiah's life, he was further tested by God of his pride. But Hezekiah's story is not the only one. There are other stories where God changed his mind to divert his judgment. Moses had just spent 40 days on a mountain with God. On Mount Sinai, he receives the Ten Commandments written by the hand of God himself. But Moses was on that mountain for a long time. In the 40 days he left them, the Israelites melted gold and formed a calf from it to bow down and worship. They began to make sacrifice to it, saying, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." So God threatened to destroy them. God tells Moses, "Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord God, and he said, "Why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was the evil intent that he brought them out to kill them and to the mountains to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people." Then the Lord relented and did not bring on the people the disaster he had threatened. So because of the prayers of Moses, and as you continue to read God's promises to Moses' forefathers, the Lord added to their time. There's another story illustrated by Jonah. He's the guy that gets swallowed up by a great fish for 3 days because he didn't want to tell the people of Nineveh God was mad. It's a natural reaction we all have. Who wants to be the bringer of bad news, much less a message of impending judgment from God? But God commanded him, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." After Jonah ran away from what God told him to do, he too repented. Then Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. What was the result? To his surprise, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Now, we need to keep these similar stories in perspective. Eventually, the end came for all of them. 15 years later, Hezekiah died. As a matter of fact, Jonah died. All of the Ninevites died. Moses died, and all the people who worshiped that golden calf eventually passed on to heaven. Or in those days before Christ, it was known as Abraham's bosom. This is where the Catholics get their understanding of purgatory. However, since the time of Jesus Christ, the wait is over at death. John 14:6 says, "Jesus answered, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" And it has always been this way. That's why those who obeyed God and walked in faith could not enter the kingdom of heaven until his Son gave the ultimate blood sacrifice that would give them the entrance. Since Christ, when we die, all we wait for is our resurrected body form. As believers, our spirit is with him immediately, and judgment of hell is also immediate. Going back to the vision of the courtroom of heaven that Maurice Sklar witnessed, the time of grace is almost over. The midnight hour is here. These are the words of Jesus. How many years do you think we have left until impending judgment? Maurice is from America, but there were other witnesses there not from America. In 2019, another extension of time had been granted. The previous extension equaled 3 years. Well, here's a few thoughts. Trump's deal of the century. This is the peace plan for Israel and the Palestinians that President Donald Trump proposed to create a Palestinian state and is giving that state $50 billion over 10 years. At least one pastor, Pastor Chicalante, considers this to be the very deal that the Antichrist will confirm between the states. No, Trump is not the Antichrist, but currently the Palestinians are flat out rejecting this deal. Eventually, one will come along to confirm it and agree with it, but later betray and reject the deal. At least that's his hypothesis. He surmises if you take away 7 years for the tribulation, that puts us at about 2023. I followed this pastor for quite some time on YouTube, and I will include a link so that you can follow him too. But you don't have to be a Bible-believing Christian to expect that some kind of apocalyptic judgment is coming soon. January 23rd, 2020, the bulletin of the atomic scientists moved the hands of the doomsday clock to 100 seconds to midnight. How did they come to this conclusion? They consider multiple factors. Political conflict regarding nuclear programs in Iran and North Korea remain unresolved and are, if anything, worsening. The U.S.-Russia cooperation on arms control and disarmament is all but non-existent. Corruption of the information, ecosphere, man-made pollution, climate change, compounded by a threat multiplier, cyber-enabled information warfare that undercuts society's ability to respond. Think of the life of Jesus. He was going along, walking with his father, his family, doing regular life, working, eating, playing, serving God, and then it was time. His three-year ministry began, and 3 years into it, he was crucified. After 3 days, he rose from the dead and stayed among the people 40 days after this. It's what the Christian faith is built around. Those eyewitnesses, healings, miracles, and thousands of year-old prophecies concerning him. After just this short time, his earthly time too came to an end. According to prophecy, time is almost up for all of us. Many people, including myself, have been given dreams or visions of Trump winning a second presidential election here in the United States, but have also seen that there is a great war coming, a world war. Using Hezekiah as an example of God's word, extending time by the 15 years in total, it calculates to the same extension of time that lines up with Pastor Ciccolani's theory. What if the total extension of time is 15 years, just like Hezekiah? That would mean the hearing in 2015 to extend time, which would include the additional extension of time granted, would end in 2030. 2015 plus 15 years is 2030. If you take away 7 years of tribulation, you get 2023. Now, before we travel too far in the world of failed predictions, we can conclude that our time is short, very short. If there was ever a time to surrender to Jesus as your Lord, the time is now. Say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, took the judgment meant for me, and rose again on the third day. I know I am a sinner, and I accept your free gift of salvation. Please wash my sins away. Be my Lord, and help me follow you and learn your voice. Keep me ready to meet you every single day. How much time do you think we have before the world experiences the apocalypse? Leave a comment below.
Until next time, follow the breadcrumbs. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to our blog, and visit our website, breadcrumbministries.com.
Listen to our podcast, donate to our ministry, or shop.